is a communicator exclusive. We are honored to present in a special interview the Chief Imam of the World Community of Al-Islam in the West, the Honorable Wallace Dean Muhammad. And now, part one of Ramadan, the month of enlightenment, and Imam Wallace Dean Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum, Chief Imam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you very much for your time and taking out of your busy schedule to be with us today to talk with us about this great spiritual day and spiritual period that we're going through now called Ramadan. And I'd like to ask you, how is your Ramadan coming so far? And I know it's going well.
Thank you a lot. It is going well. It's a welcome opportunity for me to be on your program, Wally, to help explain to some of the Muslims here in your audience who perhaps don't get a chance to do lectures of the masjid and be informed as they should be on the fasting, and also to acquaint our American friends and the public so that they will know something about the importance of this fasting.
Yes, sir. And we thank you very much. And I want to go right into the questioning. The first question that many that maybe a lot of the non-Muslims may not understand exactly what is Ramadan? What is Ramadan and then the actual significance and meaning of Ramadan?
The quickest answer I can give is that Ramadan is an effort to please God. But to please God, we have to improve our morals. And to improve our morals, we have to practice self-restraint. So fasting is a practice of self-restraint.
Specifically, during this month, this has been, Ramadan lasts for how long? What is the period of Ramadan?
30 days.
For 30 days.
Yes, 30 days. And 30 days is a kind of symbolic number representing completion. But 30 days a month is really the lunar calendar month. The moon completes its phase, its phases. And a period of 30 days, about 30 days. So it represents a complete phase. I would say this world is a phase. And if we fast month of Ramadan for a whole 30 days, it's symbolic of remaining obedient and upright and decent, restraining our antisocial lives for the sake of God, for the whole life. Ramadan is 30 days, but it represents the whole life.
Right. Is there a significance to the word Ramadan? Does it have a specific meaning?
Yes, it does. It's very, very interesting that you asked that question. In fact, you were the first one to answer that question. The word Ramadan itself dealt with a lot about Ramadan. And I was blessed to be given the meaning of it. I was discussing the meaning of Ramadan with Dr. Akbar Muhammad. He's a professor, assistant professor of Black Studies, New York State, and happened to be my brother. Yes. Akbar Muhammad, and he told me, he said, well, look, Wallace, he said, I'm going to do some research. And he did some research, and he came back with some meanings of Ramadan, the historical meaning, the development of the meaning of that word, Ramadan. And he said that the earlier meaning of Ramadan was simply the wrapping of the feet of the animal that walked the desert in the heat of the day. I've been in the Middle East in Arabia, where the sun is very hot in the middle of the day.
Yes.
Temperatures go up there at 120, right. Sometimes higher, and the sand is so hot you can hardly touch it with your hand, you know. So as a mercy to the animals, they wrap the animal's feet so that the animal is not trotting across the hot desert sand, not so unbearable for the animals, not so painful for the animals, tender feet, especially tender feet of the animals. So God inspired Prophet Muhammad to call Allah Ramadan. And it means that we get protection from the fires of sin, the heat of sin. If we practice fasting, it gives us a protection, and a wrapping is a protection for the tender feet of the animal on the hot desert. In this hot materialistic world that's dry sometimes like a desert in terms of moral development, the fasting is a discipline that saves us from the pain of the fires of sin.
And it makes us stronger, it prepares us and to be able to ward off these fires, the heat of this world and the sins of this world. That's very beautiful. So I'm very glad that I asked you that question, because I wonder, what did the word Ramadan mean? What is the actual significance to that word?
And to know the cooling.
The fires of sin. Beautiful. Is there a historical beginning of Ramadan and fasting and the observance of Ramadan? A date or a time?
Oh yes, Ramadan began in the month, lunar month, it's called Ramadan, as comes about the Hajj month, pilgrimage month, is the third month after Ramadan. And Ramadan began with the revelation of the Quran. God inspired Prophet Muhammad and blessed him with the revelation, the message, the universal message for the whole human family. And it began in the month of Ramadan. As the verse in the Quran, Allah says that the month of Ramadan, in which the whole Quran was revealed. Yes.
Also commemorating the day when the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Not so much commemorating, because a Muslim has the word of God on his mouth every day, in all times of day. In our prayers, we pray from the Quran. The verses that we pray, that we use in our standard prayers, formal prayers, are the revealed verses of the Quran. The opening prayer, which is similar to the Lord's Prayer for the Christians, called the Fatiha, the opening prayer. That's the first chapter of the Quran, and we have to say it in every prayer. And then the prayer consists of other verses recited, or chapters recited from the Quran. So we are constantly reciting the Quran. There is a definite connection, though, and the connection is the results that we get. The message that Prophet Muhammad received from God, the Quran, the scripture, it itself is a cleansing and a cooling. It's a cleansing for the morals of the man and a cooling on his passions, his wild passions, so that we don't become too extremist in our desires for worldly things and for antisocial things.
Yes.
I say worldly, I mean antisocial. anti-human things. So if the fasting is aiming at the same object, and that is to cultivate the best in the person and to weed out the worst in the person, you see. The fasting in the month of Ramadan, we fast because that is the purpose of the revelation. God sent this revelation in the month of Ramadan, and the purpose of it is moral strength. Moral strength. The purpose of it is to create in us moral strength and to help us, aid us in our desire to restrain our harmful drives, harmful appetites.
It keeps us in balance.
Yes. In fact, every discipline in Islam aims at strengthening the person morally and spiritually, and helping him to carry the responsibility, the weight of his responsibility to God and to society. without a lot of unnecessary problems, such as wild lust, cravings for things that are really passing away.
A lot of us tend to think that Ramadan only is the abstinence of it, to be fasting away from just physical food, just from food and drink. And could you explain, give us some explanation on that?
I heard the late leader, Al Elijah Muhammad, who is not so much right now identified with our religion. He's identified with our business development and business interests and social reform interests, but not so much with our theological interests right now. But I remember him saying, well, he asked a question. He said, why do we abstain from eating in the day during our fast and eat at night? And he never answered. Nobody ever answered him, and he never answered himself.
That's a good question, Brian.
Oh, yes, he did. I've learned from my study of the Bible, Judaic religion, that as the Quran says, Allah says in the Quran, that fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, meaning the Jews and the Christians and others. I've learned that fasting goes right along with the hope of the God-fearing people for a victory over wickedness in the society, for a victory over the wicked people, wicked doings of the society, you know. For the hope for, as the Bible say, kingdom on earth. The hope for a society of righteous people on earth without having to fear being persecuted for their faith, you know. So this was the hope of the people, and hope is in the Quran. It's our hope too. We hope for a time when we will not be bothered by criminal people and filthy, wicked people who persecute us simply because we believe in God, as Allah says in Allah, simply because they believe in God, believe in Allah. The fasting was practiced by the Jews and the Christians in almost the same way. They were told to fast, pray, and watch. And they spent the hours of the night fasting, praying, and watching. Watching for what? The coming of dawn.
Right.
The dawn of moral enlightenment, ethics of a fine culture society, you know. They prayed for that day. And we, as Muslims, are actually a kind of fulfillment.
Right. We have a dawn.
Yes. We are kind of an answer. We are an answer to that symbolism, you know, of praying in the dark. Because Jesus, you know, he said, of this world's light, meaning this world's spiritual guidance, he said, it's darkness. So the sun is symbolic of this world's guidance, you see? And we don't eat in the day, meaning don't eat by the light of this world's guidance. Wait for this world's guidance to go down.
then you can celebrate. Then you can, right, then we can feast.
Die to this world. Yes, that's what it means. Become blind to this world's guidance, and then God will guide you. As Allah says in the Quran, mutu fa ahya, die so that you will live. It means die to this world's false guidance, false spiritual guidance, so that you become alive to the real truth that God has revealed to his prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. Man, fast meaning fast, aren't we going against life?
That's right.
Yeah. Right. The biological nature says eat. The body wants life. And Allah says no. Tell the body wait.
Right.
Yes. So for God's sake, I hold back the life, the biological life. I keep it waiting for God's sake. And this gives it discipline. It makes my own nature, my own body know to wait. You know, when you eat all the time, the body doesn't know how to wait, right?
That's right.
But if you start disciplining the body, eating on some regular basis, the body accepts that over a period of time of discipline. The body accepts that. It won't bother you all the time. It won't bother you every 5 minutes. But if you feed the body every 5 minutes, it bothers you every 5 minutes.
Is there any correlation or is there a difference basically about with Ramadan as opposed to the Christians Lent or Jewish Passover?
Yes, it is. I believe that the purpose in the fast is basically the same, and that is to reconcile our life with the will of God, with God's commandments, His will, and to improve the moral life of a society. You know, the greatest burden on civilization is really dead morals and filthy morals. Some people are morally alive, but they don't have the self-discipline to respect their own knowledge. So the greatest burden on civilization is bad morals, bad and filthy morals. A businessman, he has to go everywhere. He wants money, you know. So that if our community practices bad morals, if we don't have hygiene, if we don't have any hygiene, any appreciation for hygiene, we don't take baths, we go around with the body, bad body odors from neglect, just neglecting to wash ourselves, and if our language is foul, very foul language, and if we have no moral direction, we respect no principles of justice and courtesies, common courtesy, etc., then the businessman is afraid to come into our community. The government can never fall. Yes. So actually, Judas, he wanted what we strive for in the past, you know. Judas sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Judas didn't want the faith, but he wanted to do the business, so the people have to have fairly decent morals in order for him to do business with them. So we have the 30 pieces of silver without betraying Christ.
Right. And that also, that is some spiritual ramifications too.
Allahu Akbar. Praise be to Allah.
You know, probably envy of a lot of other communicators throughout the country who to be able to sit with you face to face and have the honor to have this opportunity to speak to the community via the radio. And this is a blessing.
Well, we can trust them to be as objective as you are with the public. They can give us the same. If they can be as objective with us as you are with the American public, you'll give them the same privilege.
Praise be to Allah. And that's our dedication. And I think this is an area that
to serve the good interest of all of us.
Of all of us. Yes,
sir. Yes. And that's why we love you.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Allah, for that opportunity. On the fast on Ramadan, is Ramadan an obligation? Is it obligatory for every Muslim? Or is it something that you can do or not do?
Well, Islam is a religion that aims directly at bringing one into a good relationship with Almighty God. That is, getting one to accept to yield his own will and desires to the will of God. Will of God for the sake of peace, harmony, and health, and good development of human life in the world. But it's a rational religion, as you know. It's a rational religion. It's a religion that addresses not only the man's spiritual nature, but also his rational mind, his rational conscience. And what we do is practical as well as spiritual. The Muslim cannot separate the life, the practical and the spiritual life. The Muslim must accept that life is practical and spiritual, both. One can't be separated from the other. That is rational and also spiritual. We recognize the term worldly and divine in the sense that there are people who are guided by their own limited knowledge, and there are others who follow the full knowledge that God revealed, you know. So that's what separates us. But we are not spiritualists as opposed to
business and sell it, you know.
Right.
So there's no separation.
There's no separation of business and religion.
Right.
In fact, God insists that we develop business, as you know, you're a businessman yourself. God insists that we develop business and that we be active in the world, that we live in the world and be active in the world, and that we live a full life. And this again, an answer to the symbol or the sign that Jesus brought us. He said, God speaking through him, said, I come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. And again, the scripture mentions it for the fullness of the Gentiles. When the Gentiles reaches their fullness, this has been interpreted in many ways, but there's a double allusion here. One, to reaching, letting all the sins come out, so you know you need help from God. Well, we don't like that. We don't like to bring out all the sins in the society. We like to have a garbage can to put them in, you know.
That's right.
We like to have a waste, right. A dump place for those sins. We don't want them in the society. But it also points to the need for man to develop himself fully. There was a time in our history when people were just concerned with the moral and spiritual side of life, you know. And if they had a little food, a little mouth, a little small mouth full of date, a little drink sip of milk or something, water or something, well, they were okay. They were satisfied to live a life of poverty in the world for the sake of spiritual and richness, you know. But that's not Al-Islam. That's good. That's the beginning. That's the birth, you know. The birth is with water. And the baby comes in the water bag birth, you know. But after then, he ought to come on our land and step up a little more, to develop his full potential. So the human being begins as a sentimental being or moral being, but he also needs social development. And in order to develop socially, have a cultured society and develop socially, you need to utilize the material things, the material benefits, and these are the graces of God. In all of our religion, we're told that God created the heavens and the earth, and he created the animals and the fish and the plants and the birds and all these things. So that tells us that his first gifts to human beings was the material creation. And this should inspire us to seek the higher gifts from God, the spiritual and moral elevation.
Because he's given us the fundamental, the basic things, the really basic material thing.
Right. And unless you're a community of angels, you can't stand on nothing. You have to have some material base.
Stand upon it.
Some material base, right, in this world.
Yes, sir. You made a statement in Gary, what you said should be our national, our theme.
The theme for the Malalian communities. That is the underdeveloped Italian community, economically and culturally. The saying is that seek whatever means God has made available. The promised life, that's the latter life.
A day if they're able to make the prayer.
one-third, pardon me, to one-thirtieth, and to complete the whole Quran, 30 parts, 30 over 30, which is the whole of the whole Quran. So reading one-thirtieth a day brings us to the completion of the Quran over the 30-day period.
And you mentioned earlier in one of your lectures about the reading of that, of the whole book, and the rewards and the great blessing that you can get from reading that.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. If we read just one verse, we get rewards and blessings. So how much more reward and blessing if we read the whole of Quran? And then it makes Muslims educated. It educates. No one can read the whole Quran and be a fool. No one can read the whole Quran with his eyes open, his mind open to the guidance of God, and be on an elementary level in school. Just reading the whole of Quran will make you a high school graduate. Yes. And many will become college graduates simply by reading the Quran. I don't know whether they agree with being science or arts or what, but they'll become graduates.
And every, you mentioned before, every phase of life, every phase of it is in the Quran.
Every serious issue for human beings is dealt with in that small book. And God says it. Says there is not an issue that has been ignored in this book.
So you have to read it. And again, even you mentioned earlier too that even in the years to come, hundreds of years from now, thousands of years from now, this book will still,
yes,
there will still be new revelations coming from this book.
As long as human life remains in the form that it's in, as long as we are not going to heaven away from this earth, then that's the book. It's until the final day of judgment. Yes.
And even the actual verses and chapters, if I read it, you know, God can bless me with an interpretation, or
yes.
and you can read it. And then is that true that it'll always be more revelations,
yes,
and more coming from
it's
the
desire to
that?
Satisfy the needs,
right,
the needs, the social needs, the spiritual needs, the total needs of all the people. It opens the way for the cultivation, the full cultivation of human life. It gives the guidance, the disciplines for the whole life. The knowledge of how to build a bridge is bridge building knowledge. But we have to approach the building of the bridge with a certain mental attitude, the moral attitude, and God gives us the direction for approaching the bridge, the building of a bridge, with the right human mind, so that when we build the bridge don't become a detriment to society.
Chiefly, ma'am, during the month of Ramadan, there's a nightly prayer service that is done in congregation every evening that all of the Muslims go to pray. What is that called, and what is the significance and historical background about that?
Taraweeh prayers. Taraweeh prayers are prayers that are said again during the night, as we eat during the night, and also we say the special prayer during the night. It is a prayer for the blessings of God. In the month of Ramadan, God bless one human being who had, in his 40 years of living before he received God's revelation, had established his worth as a man deserving the special favor of God, the blessings of revelation. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was blessed by God, and he was a man who longed to see society peaceful, decent morally, just, no mistreatment of any individual, and enlightened. He didn't like to see stupidity and pagan vulgar display in the society. All of this was a terrible burden on his heart, and he himself never worshipped idols during his lifetime. He never prayed to any of the false deities, and he
always stood for the highest and finest human principles, see? And he had a leaning, yearning for reconciliation, or for, pardon me, for reconciliation, or for, pardon me, nearness to God. And Prophet Muhammad received revelations, and the revelation came to him during the night. And there's a verse in the Quran that says, rise to Prophet Muhammad. And whatever God says to Prophet Muhammad is to us too. Because God was setting an example in Prophet Muhammad for all people. Again, the answer to Christ. Christ says, I in you, you in me. Right? Meaning that whatever I am, you should have the same in you, you see.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. So the answer to that is Prophet Muhammad, who received guidance from God, and everything that he was obligated to do to bring about, to bring the full life of human beings on earth, we are obligated to do the same. So Allah says to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him and all the righteous servants, rise, break the sleep, break the night sleep, and rise up during the night and pray. Says, surely the night is conducive, very conducive to the clear framing of the word. You know, and we know this as students in college, etc. In high school, I knew it in grade school. Education was a strain on my mind, all it has always been. I try to seek the peaceful environment. And I found that at night, when everybody's gone to sleep and everything's quiet, that it's easy to get the thoughts and put the ideas together. It's just easy to work in the night. So the man works in the day, you know, but the night is good for spiritual development, good for a quiet that enables us to arrive at the right moral thoughts, etc., you see. That's if we are separated from the things that tear against our moral development. So night is very important for Muslims, for all religious people, because the people who didn't have proper religion, people who were frightened into a kind of pseudo-religion or into an improper religion by the fears of night, gave us the idea that night is filled with demons, with bad spirits, etc. So Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad the message of the Quran to dignify the night, to clean it of false charges. So while the treatment of night by God in the Quran corrects our thinking about darkness, you see. The darkness, nothing wrong with God's night. God's night is good. It's peaceful, it enables us to rest from the toil, the drudgeries of the day routine, and it gives us time to recuperate. It gives the body time to recuperate and gives the mind time to free itself from the blinding things of the material activities, you see. So the night is very good for spiritual development. The day is good for physical development, for material development, for mercy. And the night is good for moral and spiritual development.
It goes right back to what you're saying about being, having that balance again. You know, having
balance, certainly. It's coming out of primitiveness,
yes.
Coming out of savage, ignorant, primitive mindedness, fearing the darkness and associating the darkness with demon and Satan, you know. And if you associate the darkness with demon and Satan, then you see a black man looking dark like that, you would call him a demon or Satan. And that's what they did. That's what the ignorant people did.
And so the Tarawih prayers, and this started with Prophet Muhammad, did it not?
Certainly.
The action, right?
Certainly. The praying during the night in Ramadan was an order to Prophet Muhammad.
Yes.
And Prophet Muhammad practiced it. But I would say it was not totally a tradition started by Prophet Muhammad, because as I said earlier, the Jews and the Christians, those devoted Jews and Christians who understood their scripture, they also practice fasting and praying in the night and staying up long hours in the night waiting on God's blessing.
deliverer.
Yes.
Yes.
Getting back to the actual pragmatic parts of the fasting season of Ramadan, where Muslims are to abstain from eating and drinking during the daylight hours, another question comes up about the question of smoking. Now, we know that here in America and even all parts of the Muslim world, most of the world, that smoking is frowned upon by Muslims and but there is even the Prophet Muhammad and his companions, none of them smoked. But is smoking one of the also one of the things that is prohibited during the month of Ramadan, along with eating and drinking?
Yes, strictly forbidden, as the taking of food or any carnal indulgence. That is sex or any carnal indulgence. We can't discipline the carnal side of the life, that is the fleshly passions, the carnal side of the life. We can't discipline that by simply not taking food into us. If we don't eat food, say if we like to play table tennis, if a fanatic for table tennis plays table tennis all day long, get into a good game of table tennis, actually he's breaking the spirit of Ramadan, because it takes his mind off of internal development and puts his mind on just physical exercise, you see, the kind of satisfaction that comes from physical involvement, you see. So that's not the purpose of the fast. Not that we can't do physical things. We can do physical things, but it shouldn't be for play. It shouldn't be light-headed involvement. It should be a serious involvement. And it shouldn't be to get direct pleasure from a physical environment, you see, a carnal, fleshly environment. So we don't smoke. We don't take any food into our mouth, no liquids into our mouth, nothing into the body during the day. And when the sun has set, then we can take food, we can do everything but break the spirit of the fast. Now, we break the spirit of the fast if when the sun set, we turn on the records and get the shake the baby, shake the baby or something, you know. When we start blasting that will destroy
the spirit.
That will break the spirit. The night is for prayers, for long prayers and contemplation on the guidance of God and His blessings in our life, you see. So the day is to restrain the carnal, the wild carnal appetites, not all the fleshly appetites, but just to teach them discipline and to stay away from the forbidden things and to restrain the appetites for food, drink, etc., and smoke. Smoking is not forbidden in the Quran by revelation. My knowledge by hadith, that is by the sayings of Prophet Muhammad. Nevertheless, it is agreed by most qualified authorities in Al-Islam that smoking is a thing that should be forbidden, is a thing to stay away from. And we arrive at this judgment by the saying of Prophet Muhammad, that if the benefits are overweighed by the harm of a thing, then that thing is harmful. Smoking, what is the benefit? The benefit is just relief, some tension, some bodily tensions. You didn't have those bodily tensions before you started smoking. The first puff was not to satisfy bodily tension. The bodily tensions were created by the smoking. The nervousness was created by the smoking. And then what does the society benefit from you smoking? You, as all Elijah Muhammad say, you're burning up money in the air. You just burn up money in the air. And the Cass and Hart Society telling us now that we're just coating our lungs with nicotine and adding to the problem of breathing, pollution and breathing, emphysema, cancer, heart disease. We're contributing to all these things.
So these bad things overwhelmingly outweigh the benefits.
Certainly. Right. So if we apply that rule to smoking, though smoking wasn't expressed in or given name in the Quran or the Hadith, if we apply that rule, then we have to stay away from smoking. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he was in some ways more orthodox than some orthodox. That's right.
By forbidding it altogether from the Muslims in America.
And we still forbid it.
Yes.
There's no smoking. The Muslims, if they do it, we won't throw them out of our community. We don't communicate anyone anymore for those things. But we do let them know that they are not practicing the good, rational, sound teachings of Islam when they are wasting their money and smoking and destroying their health and destroying the good atmosphere that all of us have to breathe.
Chief, we come now to, chronologically, we're coming now toward the end of Ramadan now, and there's a celebration or a prayer and a celebration called the Eid al-Fitr.
Yeah, Eid al-Fitr, yes. That's right.
Could you explain that?
Yes. After the 30 days fast, we have a victory, we celebrate. Joyfully in the day, yes. So actually the interpretation of this is that once we have made our society decent, clean, we've cleaned it up morally, physically, and spiritually. When the society is made right and decent and clean, material side of life, regular material kinds of involvements will not be harmful at all to us. The society will be safe. There's nothing wrong with God's material creation. The wrong is in the way that we view and relate to God's creation, you see. So once that knowledge has been corrected and our wild passions blind and wild passions have been tamed, then we can go out day and night is just as good.
Because it's out of control now.
Just as good, right. Yes. We have opened our eyes to the reality of the world. So if we are blind in the day, then the day is our night. Yes.
Right. That's beautiful. And thus completes, that is the victory. We celebrate the victory of our
the
fast.
The victory of our fast, right.
Yes.
Certainly, that we have overcome the temptations of ignorant direction that lead to wildness of life and moral corruption, injustices. We have had a victory. We have 30 days, which represents a completion, that we have come through this life clean and upright before God. So we don't have to fear the physical creation because our eyes are open. This is truly the day. So the Eid is truly the day for the Muslim after the fasting of Ramadan.
So thus completes that. And I think you have answered the questions and given us a complete insight on Ramadan and all of the spiritual aspects and physical aspects of it. Again, thank you very much for the opportunity of being with you this afternoon to discuss this thoroughly. I'm sure we have been very well fed and our cups are running over now.
We have. I'm sure that the scholars, learned scholars on the Quran, Hadith, and the meaning of fast, they will say that we barely touched upon the subject. And that's because there are many social benefits. Many social benefits. The fast teaches us to be concerned for the suffering of other people. We know the pain of hunger in our stomach, so it makes us more sympathetic for the pain of hunger in others. make our prayers in the morning before perhaps 9:30, around 9:30 or before, we make a donation.
Yes.
And that's traditional, that we make that donation, because at that time, Allah has rewarded us with great spiritual benefits and moral benefits that will be seen in our total life.
Yes.
That will be seen as rewards in our total life, for the betterment of our total life. So at that time, the Muslim is in the best mind and spirit to do his duty to society, and that is help his brother who's in need, help his sister, help the sister who's in need. So the charity is taken up so that everyone has a happy eat.
Yes.
We don't want just the fastest to have a happy eat, but those that couldn't fast, those that have some sickness, are the aged people, are those poor people who whose condition is so bad that they are half starving all the time. Now, I hope in America we don't have any people like that, but we have some people on welfare who starve because they will use the welfare stamps for other things. You know, they sell them for whiskey. Well, they're ignorant and they're destroying themselves, but we have to have compassion on those people. And anyone who come up on Eid Day, Muslim or non-Muslim, if they come to our Eid feast, they're welcome to share in the feast with us.
You have been listening to Imam Wallace Dean Muhammad. For those of you who would like to join the world community of Al-Islam, call 662-2202. 662-2202. Someone is waiting to answer your call. 662-2202. Call now, 662-2202. Again, on behalf of Imam Ali Rashid, I thank you for making the Eid feast a success. The cooperation of the various committees was greatly appreciated. However, we would like to give the sound crew special recognition for a wonderful job. Thanks to all the committees for their participation. You can turn your Ramadan can in at the Treasury Department of Malcolm Shabazz Masjid. If you did not get a can, your personal contribution will also be acceptable. Whatever you saved during this period is needed and appreciated. So turn it in now. Thank you. You can have the speeches of Imam Wallace Dean Muhammad's national radio broadcast program by purchasing the tapes at your local masjid or sales representative. You may also get these cassettes by writing Malcolm Shabazz Masjid, Post Office Box 873, Morningside Station, New York, New York. Malcolm Shabazz Masjid, Post Office Box 873, Morningside Station, New York, New York. Or you may call 662-2201, 662-2201. All Muslim communities of the metropolitan area are invited to meet with the Muslim Organization Committee, known as MOC, each Thursday at 7:30 p.m. in New York at Malcolm Shabazz High School. We are asking all Muslims and believers in the metropolitan area to purchase additional Bilalian news for the next few weeks. We are also planning a weekly event where everyone, brothers and sisters, will help get the truth to the people by selling additional Bilalian news. The papers of the people, by the people, and for the people. This week, read about Muhammad Ali, the people's champ, Imam Wallace Dean Muhammad on The Parallel in Moses. Support the radio broadcast by sending your donation today to Malcolm Shabazz Masjid, Post Office Box 873, Morningside Station, New York, New York. Malcolm Shabazz Masjid, Post Office Box 873, Morningside Station, New York, New York. Help us to continue to spread this truth to the people. We need your support. Won't you help us to help others? We would also appreciate more letters and cards from our listening audience. Let us know how you enjoy the broadcast. We extend to each of you a hearty invitation to come out and visit with us today at the corner of 116th Street and Lenox Avenue. That is Malcolm Shabazz Masjid at the corner of 116th Street and Lenox Avenue. So come out today. I will be looking forward to seeing you. Assalamu alaikum.
You've been listening to Imam Wallace D. Muhammad of the World Community of Al-Islam in the West. Tune in next week at this same time for the world broadcast of the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad Speaks. Thank you for listening.
The preceding program was pre-recorded for broadcast at this time. WNJR Newark, it's 1229.